my name's John Lee Pettimore. Same as my daddy and his daddy before. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. He only come a town about twice a year. You buy 100 pounds of yeast and a copper line. Everybody knew that it made me shine. And I'm a revenue man on a granddaddy bed. Head left a holler of everything had. For my time, but I've been told to never come back from Copperhead Road. Sheriff painted on the side. Just shot a coat of primer and looked inside. Well, him and my uncle tore that engine down. I still remember that rumbling sound. And then the sheriff came around in the middle of the night. Heard mama crying that something wasn't right. Headed down to Knoxville with a weekly load. You can smell a whiskey burning down Copperhead Road.
Freya's Day, She-Wolf Day in the bunker. How about that? Congratulations to all you she-wolves out there. There's not as many she-wolves as there are lone wolves, but we got some pretty tough ones out there. Yeah. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581, and it is July the 22nd, 2016. And we're getting pretty close to the end of July, so if you've got something really earth-shaking and important to do that you just can't wait, and you're all excited about it, well, you better get at it, because you're running out of time. I'm not going to talk about much about the bullshit you heard last night, if you heard it. Probably that was the biggest amount of condensed horse shit you hear in one place until next week, and then you'll even hear more condensed bullshit. I can't tell you, boys, even an all-white nation, you can't trust a billionaire. Don't ever trust a billionaire. How do you think they get to be billionaires? Come on. Well, I forced myself to listen to the whole speech, right down to the last 5 minutes, I guess. I didn't hear anything about white racism or white separatism or racial separation or we got to save the white race or we got to do something for white kids. Did you hear any of that? I heard we got to help the transvestites and we got LGBTs and we got to do more for black people, which is their own responsibility, not ours. If Obama wasn't going to help them, what the hell do they expect us to do? As far as I'm concerned, Trump is just a reverse side of Obama. He said different things in different ways, but it's still almost the same thing, only it's the white version of Obama or the black version of, you know, Trump. I know a lot of people get mad at me because I don't play the game and I don't go down the same road as all these other people, but that's the problem you're going to have to face if you're going to run with me. If you're going to run with the big dogs, you got to get out from under the porch. Because I don't run with the rabble. And it takes a hell of a lot more than a Trump coming along telling me he feels my pain, he's going to save my ass, and he's going to bring law and order, and he's going to make us great again, and we're all going to have all kinds of money, and everybody's going to be happy and all that. If you're into that stuff, that's what we used to be in every 4 years. I've been down that road a whole lot of times, man, and I've paid the price and spent the money, too. Not a lot of money, because I didn't have a lot of money, but we were always getting behind some jerk-off coming down the road. Oh, he's going to do it for us. And if he didn't say exactly what we wanted to say, I'd say to the people around me, I'd say, well, he didn't say a damn thing about what I'm interested in. He said, that's all right. Just, it's okay. Just get him in there. And once he gets in there, he's going to take care of it. Did any one of these assholes ever do that? Which one did? Which guy that you thought was pretty good, your neighbor thought was pretty good, when he got in, did he do the job? None of them. Ronald Reagan. Right-wingers still think he was a hero. He was nothing but a third-rate actor that was controlled by the Jews. The Jews used to make fun of him and laugh at him in Hollywood. Like I told you, I knew all these Hollywood people that worked in Hollywood. In fact, I knew several stars, not on an intimate basis, but I mean, you know, not on a regular basis, but I knew them and talked to them. But all the guys that worked the cameras and the floor and the men who set up everything knew what a creep Ronald Reagan was. He was another pussy, just like this Pence from Indiana. He's an embarrassment. They used to tell old Ronald Reagan, we're going to take a shot here. We're going to do a shot in this movie. And we got the X marks the spot around here. Now, Ronald, stand on that goddamn X mark. And Ronald would say, yes, Mr. Jew. And he'd trot on over there and stand on the X. Is this all right, Mr. Jew? All right, you silly asshole. Just stand there while we take the picture. The only decent movie ever made was one about robbing a bank. If you ever get a hold of that one, it's a B movie, but it's sure as hell a lot better than anything else he did. But he's a warmonger. He didn't have any problem killing other people. He killed them all over Central America because they didn't want the same kind of government we did. And when the capitalistas tell you what kind of government you're going to have, you better have it or they'll kill you. So they killed people all over Central America, and of course the arms makers and the military-industrial complex got richer and richer. And now they name airports after Tricky Dick. I got a habit of saying Tricky Dick. That was Nixon. And he was another one. I think Nixon was more honest than Reagan, though, really. So I don't know what to tell you. If you're still out there and you're still thinking you're going to vote your way out of this, or there's some wonderful person going to come along and get you out of this, then you are deluded, boy. you are truly deluded and there's no hope for you. Like I told you yesterday, I believe, my sign's up out there and I made a bigger sign. Now I got 3x4. That's a pretty big sign with 8-inch letters. Yeah, don't prop it up, break it up. Well, I'll tell you, a lot of these Republicans, white Republicans running around here, almost running off the road looking at that sign. I think on that Trump speech last night, the LGBTBEWXYZs or whatever they're called, they got more time than any white person, I mean, or anything about the white race, because he didn't say a goddamn thing about the white race. He said, my good people, my fellow Americans, that's all of you, because we got to all stick together. We're all in this, and we love the black people. We all love the Mexican people. They're going to vote for me. There was Mexicans all over that audience saying, supporting Trump. Blacks all over the audience celebrating Trump. How fools, what fools can we mortal white people be? I do know one thing, I tuned on to both the left-wing and the right-wing stations like I do every morning, early in the morning. And the Trump people supporting Trump, think he's next thing to sliced bread. He's wonderful, he's the deliverer, he's the Jesus, and they're all going, praise God and pray to Jesus all night long and all morning on these shows. God's going to win it for us. But also, I was quite surprised that most of the progressives on the radio shows are scared shitless. They're obviously scared. Up until he made that speech, they weren't scared. They're scared now. You know, the Wicked Witch has put $10 million into advertising in Ohio alone. And Trump hasn't even, I don't think he even made a speech there. I don't think it's $10 billion. It must be $10 million. Imagine that, spending $10 million on TV advertising, and she hasn't even chosen her vice president. But I saw him looking at a guy they thought might be her vice president. Booker, I think, is his name. I don't know if he's a governor or a congressman. He's a mulatto, a very light mulatto that shaves his head because you know he's got kinky hair. And he has to shave that head so he looks more like a suntanned white man. But the configuration of his face does not make him a white man, maybe a Turk or something like that. I found something really interesting on a calendar I had around here, and I'm sorry I missed it. I didn't even bring it downstairs, but last month on the 16th, the local calendar here, it's made here, published here in town, said the first white baby born in Kosciuszko County was on back in 1840, I think it was. I'll get the right date for you. But that's really great. They're still putting that on the calendar here in Kosciuszko County. You got to give them E for effort there. You know, another clown that gets under my skin is this idiot Ted Cruz. Sort of a Cuban-Canadian. But you know, this Cruz and Trump both kiss the ass of Israel like everybody's got to kiss the ass of Israel. My travels in Israel, I don't think that most of the people in Israel want Americans kissing their ass either. It's obviously an embarrassment to most Jews in Israel to listen and watch the way the goyim grovel on their knees to them. Did you ever hear of Ron Popeil and his brother, how they brought the Jewish hucksterism to the masses of stupid whites? Read this article. It says, the marvel of an exhibit in Elmhurst, Illinois. You can go to this museum. But wait, there's more. You can learn the incredible. You recognize that? And wait, there's more. If you send in your order right now, we'll send you two of them. You'll learn the incredible exploits of Samuel and Raymond Popeil, Jews, and their empire of gadgets and gizmos. Isn't that amazing? But wait, there's Samuel Pompeo's estranged son, Ron Popeil, who created Ronco, to best his father. Yeah. That might have been how the Pompeo brothers on Ronco infomercial would have pitched. But wait, there's more. The appeal and spiel of Ronco and Pompeo on at the Elmer's History Museum just 18 miles west of Chicago. The exhibit showcases more than 125 Pompeo Ronco Jewish products that have ascended to the realm of pop culture lore and screwed the white customers out of millions for junk. From Mr. Microphone and the Pocket Fisherman to the Vegematic and the Sit-On Trash Compactor. Infomercials from both companies inescapable to anyone who watched the late night television over the decades. Wallpaper, a video installation. But along with the iconic gadgets and indelible advertisement, the show's about a particular Jewish kind of salesmanship and showmanship. A classic tale of hustle and chutzpah, according to Tim Samuelson, official cultural historian of the city of Chicago, and an obsessive Pompeo Ronco collector. But wait, there's more! Is based on his 2002 book of the same name and curated by Lance Twadzer, another kike, the museum's curator of exhibits. The Pompeo's brand of pitching comes right out of the streets of New York and New Jersey, with strong origins in the Jewish street sales techniques in the ghettos of Eastern Europe, Samuelson told Forward from his Chicago office. The origins of the Pompeo story in Chicago actually go back to the East Coast, to Asbury Park, New Jersey, and New York, where their relatives came in there. It was a virtual dynasty of master pitch people, con men. They could get you to line up and put up money for something you had no intention of buying. The exhibition traces the origins of both Pompeo Brothers and Ronco, the Jewish clans of Pompeo and Morris Hawk, the tchotchkes, on wall boards, on boardwalks, and at county fairs. It was glass knives, simple slicers, traditions that go back before the Pompeos. Samuelson said, it's not like they invented this, but they did it very well. With the emergence of television, Samuel and Raymond Bopiel saw the potential to hawk on a grand scale, bringing their uncanny showmanship and conman artist salesmanship to the small screen. To sell products, they started manufacturing themselves in Chicago, where they relocated to tap new markets. The brothers essentially created the infomercial. Yeah, all the Jews made millions, millions off you gullible goyim. An element of Greek tragedy emerges in, but wait, there's more in the fraught relationship between Samuel and Ron Pompeo. By Ron's account, his father Samuel was so busy trying to build and shape his own career that Ron was neglected. He was sent to a boarding school at early age, paid for by all the money he'd filched out of the white people and black people. Samuelson said, Ron was looking to his father as a role model for his own career. There was a lack of connection to make that happen. Well, anyhow, this story goes on, and I'm not going to read it all to you, but this is how these two Jews and their father made tens of millions of dollars off the stupid goyim, selling them cheap stuff first over on the sidewalk, then on the radio, and then on the big screen TV. They're still doing it today, big time. You see them all the time on TV. Buy one, we'll give you two. But wait. It's all Jew. Well, I see the Orthodox over there in Israel, and Jerusalem's mayor snubs the gay pride march. How about that? I wonder why that isn't splashed all over the papers of the United States. They never tell the news from Israel. Very much at all. Well, the Jews are split up on this Trump deal. Yeah, but more of them are against him than for him, I'm sure. Despite grave reservations of many Jews, including, apparently, the billionaire casino magnate Sheldon Adelson, are supporting Donald Trump because of Israel. They should do the opposite, they say in the Israeli papers. A Trump presidency would constitute an existential threat to the Jewish state, destabilizing the region at precisely the time Israel yearns for stability. Let's put aside a few ancillary issues. For example, that Trump's followers, especially online, include rabid anti-Semites like David Duke. His own campaign retweets their posts, and the candidate himself has said nothing about the shocking anti-Jewism in the Republican National Convention's own chat rooms. Let's also ignore some disturbing comments. It tickles me how the right-wingers all jump onto this. See? These Jews hate him, so he must be wonderful. He must love us. They're so easy to con. Let's also ignore some disturbing comments from Trump himself. In February, for example, he remarked that he would be neutral on Israel, on Palestine. That was a mistake. Placing Trump on the left of every American president since Eisenhower, including Carter and Obama. Wow. Wait a minute, I got to move my page down here. What the hell? Where was I? He backtracked a couple of weeks later, like he always does. And several times he was characterized Jews as good with money. Well, that's as good as anti-Semitism. Or money-obsessed and anti-Jew cliché. Well, no, I think it's pretty true. But I know Scotsmen are pretty tight, too. I know a lot of people are tight with them. A lot of the guys in the right wing that say how terrible the Jews being stingy is. Shit, they're just as stingy as the Jews. I mean, you know, ask people like Mahan and these guys how much money they ever got given by the right wing. Almost nothing. Almost nothing. If you depend on getting enough money to operate the way you should be, you wouldn't even get into this at all. And finally, let us set aside the questions of whether an Israeli first voting policy fulfills one's duty as a loyal American citizen, or is even a smart idea, given Israel's dependence on a strong, stable Uncle Sammy. If our country, well, you know, if we weren't a strong and stable, rich, so-called rich with credit country, the Jews wouldn't have anything to do with us. They'd go to another country that had the money. If our country declines, especially in favor of Russia or China, Israel will suffer. Now they want to pick on Russia again. Let's focus instead on our four direct dire threats that Trump presidency would pose to the state of Israel and our little game we got going. His inconsistency, his extremism, his volatility, and his isolationism. Oh, God, you can't have isolationism. Isn't Israel pretty much into isolation? What the fuck? Israel's a very isolationist country. In fact, even if they don't want to be isolationist, their neighbors are going to make them be isolationists. Look at the mess that resulted from President Obama when he drew a line in the sand regarding Syrian chemical weapons and then allowed Syrian President Bashar Assad to cross it. Well, that's typical of a mulatto. They're unstable. You got to understand that. In the animal world, these crossbred species are unstable. They're liable to do one thing one minute and another in the next minute. Maybe Trump's unstable too. Maybe he's crossbred. Our allies relied on us, our adversaries, i.e. Russia, made their calculations and Obama balked. The result has been a strengthening of Russia. Oh, horrible. That's terrible. The defeat of our allies in Syria and, of course, the most horrifying humanitarian disaster of our own current movement. Well, This is a Jew talking. Allies, Syria, nobody's our allies. We're not even allied between the states. You think that we're allied Indiana with Louisiana that's one-third or more Negro? All that ally shit is, you know, if you go out in front of your house and walk along the sidewalk and somebody comes to beat your ass and you yell, scream help, how many people are going to come? Your allies. Who are your allies then? Nobody. Piss on you. That was one broken promise. Now imagine the impact of Trump's wild, uninformed, and contradictory statements on the Middle East. Well, nobody says what they think anyhow. Jeez. They would destabilize an already unstable region, destroying trust in the United States, and further isolate Israel. Well, of course, who destabilizes the Middle East? Tell me about it. The United States, the war machine, the military-industrial complex, the billionaire arms makers, that's what destabilizes the Middle East, and their insatiable greed for oil. There's never been a time when the United States couldn't have backed away from the Middle East and said, go your own way and feed yourself. And it'd be very quiet in the sand dunes of North Africa. For example, Trump has said that the United States should declare war on ISIS. You don't have to declare war, just go over and kill them. Or if the people around them don't want to kill them, so what are you going to do? Just kill them if they come out of there, if they attack us in the United States, you kill them. Kill anybody. You know, ISIS, there's a lot worse dangers to American citizens than ISIS. Like driving a car on a weekend. More people dying on the highway. So I guess you should all put a 44 Magnum slug in the engine of your car. Would that include ground troops in Syria and Iraq? Well, why not? Send some more young white guys that are so stupid to join up. Bye, Mom. I'm going off to save the world, goddammit. Oh, son, you're such a brave Christian boy. Very few, he said in a recent 60 Minutes appearance, we're going to get neighboring countries involved. Yeah, get everybody involved. Let's get out the nuclear weapons. Let's let her go. Why not? Global warming is going to kill us all anyhow. I just want to get out of here and go to Mars or something. Jeez, would somebody buy me a ticket? How by threatening to end oil purchases from Saudi Arabia and other allies, which would create an immediate recession and alienate our allies in the region? Well, that Saudi Arabia's Mohammedism. Just take over Saudi Arabia and cut every head off the monarchs. Get rid of that goddamn country. They've been a pain in the ass forever. They're a pain in the ass to their own people, too. More broadly, Trump has wildly oscillated between extreme interventionism, putting troops on the ground in Syria, for example, and extreme isolationism, ending decade-long alliances in NATO. Dump NATO! Trump was right about that, but he'll never dump NATO. Now he says they got a deal going where NATO is going to cooperate in fighting ISIS. Well, why weren't they fighting ISIS before? Who in the hell are they fighting? They want to fight Russia. Russia don't want to fight, you dumb shits. As Jeffrey Goldberg has said, he has no understanding of post-war international order that was created by the United States. Well, nobody else does either. It's so screwed up. Our foreign policy is always screwed up. That's the nature of U.S. foreign policy. Be screwed up all the time, but always have somebody to fight with. More uncertainty and instability and isolation, with Israel paying the price, receiving $3 or $4 billion a year, plus the most modern weapons before our troops even get them, and Israel's paying the price. What the fuck price are they paying? I was over there. People living great. The culture, the society, the economy is fine in Israel. Unless you go down to the West Bank and consider the Palestinians a part of the thing, but they're not considered a part of the thing. They're the niggas of Israel. Trump has reversed positions on Hillary Clinton, abortion, guns, you name it. He will say anything, and then as his former Art of the Deal ghostwriter described based on first-hand experience, wait a minute, simply double down on whatever he's told before. I'm oblivious to its obvious falsity. I mean, he reversed himself 15 times in that speech last night. Everybody's out there cheering for the transvestites. We demand that bathroom. This kind of unpredictability would destroy American credibility. Destroy American credibility? Are you kidding? It was destroyed a long time ago, probably about the time of the Civil War, and create an uncertain environment in which Israel's tacticians could never be sure of the status quo continuing. Well, that's because Israel's just as fucked up as we are. I mean, you know, we've got the Jews spread all over the place, and now Judaism, the Jewish way of thinking, has become a virus. I mean, millions of Christians have caught the virus. They're acting just as screwed up as the Jews. Tickles me when the right-wingers are pointing all these fingers at the Jews when they act just like them. Trump's extreme positions on Islam have already led to a dangerous backlash among Muslim nations. Well, who gives a shit? His proposed ban on Muslims entering the United States has already been reciprocated. Well, just ban non-white people coming into the United States. I mean, the Muslims, white Muslims, are no worse than white Christians, as far as I'm concerned. Several Arab states have banned him. His own business partners, moderate Saudi businessmen, have called him a disgrace, not only to the GOP, but to all America. Well, who gives a shit what you think, Saudi Arabians? We should have overrun you a long time ago. Pull a plug on those bastards. More broadly, Trump's candidacy has inspired a rise of anti-Americanism in the region. Well, that was there a long time before Trump came along. Are you out of your mind? He confirms the views of Islamic extremists that America hates Islam. Well, I hate Islam. I hate all religion, really. I can tolerate it, but I don't like it. And it undermines those of moderate Muslims. There is no such thing as a moderate Muslim. If you punch them right, they're going to react as a militant Muslim. Muhammad was a war conciliary, like in the mafia. He started about 20 wars before he was 25, I think. He's a militant, you know, that stuff's all militant, based on militancy and chopping heads off, just like Christianity. One cartoon in a Jordanian newspaper depicted it perfectly, with Trump's hair merging with the beard of an ISIS leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. A Trump presidency will turn Israel's few friends into enemies. Well, that's right. You've totally screwed up the United States with your Judaism, and now that it's coming back on Israel to make it worse for Israel, it's your fault. It will radicalize the Middle East and boost support for ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, and other anti-Western, anti-Israel elements. Indeed, he is their fondest dream. Wow, man. I'm not going to go any longer because there's a whole lot more BS on here, but I'm not going to read it. Not going to read it. I'm going to put something else on here that makes more sense to me.
In this arid wilderness of steel and stone, I raise up my voice that you may hear. To the east and to the west I beckon, to the north and to the south I show a sign, proclaiming death to the weakling, wealth to the strong. Open your eyes that you may see, O men of mildewed minds, and listen to me, ye laborious millions. For I stand forth to challenge the wisdom of the world, to interrogate the laws of man and of God. I request reasons for your golden rule, and ask the why and wherefore of your Ten Commands. Before none of your printed idols do I bend in acquiescence, and he who saith, Thou shalt to me, is my mortal foe. I demand proof over all things, and accept, with reservations, even that which is true. I dip my forefinger in the watery blood of your impotent, mad Redeemer, and write over his thorn-torn brow, the true prince of evil, the king of the slaves. Attraction and gravitation hold the stars in their courses, and all human swarms and animal herds are integrated and disintegrated by effective manifestations of derivative solar heat and power. Strong men are magnetized incarnations of primordial energy, dynamos of concentrated electricity. Might is cosmic power in chemic operation, and man, in his own sphere, is heliocentric force on two legs. Might is mighty and must prevail. The strong can do as they please. Who are the strong? They who conquer. They who take the spoil and camp on the battlefield. All life is a battlefield. How did subjectiveness originate? The first slave was a defeated fighter, afterwards tamed by hunger and blows. How can a slave recover his liberty? By reconquering his conqueror. If he feels that he is not a man enough, then he must submit, cut his own throat, or die fighting, unsubdued. But freedom may be granted to him. Freedom cannot be granted, it must be taken. Then strife is perpetual, inevitable, nay, glorious? Yes, it is intended as an ordeal, a trial by combat. It unmistakably divides the guilty from the non-guilty. But that is a harsh philosophy. Nature is harsh, cruel, merciless to all unlovely things. Her smile is only for the courageous, the strong, the beautiful, and the all-daring. You have no comfort for the poor and lowly, the innocent ones, the downtrodden. The poor and lowly are a creeping pestilence. There are no innocent ones. And the downtrodden are the justly damned sinners in a hell they've made. You praise the strong, you glorify the mighty ones. I do. They are nature's noblemen. In them she delights. The all vanquishers. The dauntless ones. Among virile conquering tribes, the ideal man is ever the all-daring Jove, the splendid Apollo, and the self-reliant Achilles. It is only in centuries of dotage, in ages of cankersome downgoing and nervous disease, that the model man becomes a Christ. The model man of our forefathers was Odin, a warlord. But our ideal man is a weeping, horsewhipped Jew, a Jew for a god. The deities of the Greeks and Vikings, Goths and Romans, were all originally mighty men of valor, or virile women of surpassing beauty, afterwards held up before their warlike posterity as splendid examples of natural nobility, conscious power, daring courage, shrewdness, sexual vigor, and boundless strength of character. The gods and heroes of antiquity spent their vital force in the destruction of monsters, in the seizure of new hunting grounds, in the slaughtering of tyrants, and in the breeding of unconquerable sons. The word brutal in real life means the reverse of effeminate. A man is brutal will not turn the other cheek. This circling planet ball is no navel contemplating nirvana, but rather a vast whirling starlit Valhalla, where victorious battlers drink the foaming heart's blood of their smashed up adversaries from the scooped out skull goblets of the slain in never ending war. The natural world is a world of war. The natural man is a warrior. The natural law is tooth and claw. All else is error.
The Logic of Today by Ragnar Redbeard. Might was right when Caesar bled upon the stones of Rome. Might was right when Joshua led his hordes o'er Jordan's foam. And might was right when German troops poured down through Paris Gay. It's the gospel of the ancient world and the logic of today. Behind all kings and presidents, all government and law, our army corps and cannoneers to hold the world in awe, and sword-strong races own the earth and ride the conqueror's car, and liberty has never been won except by deeds of war. What are the lords of hoarded gold the silent Semite rings? What are the plunder patriots, high pontiffs, priests, and kings? What are they but bold masterminds, best fitted for the fray, who comprehend and vanquish by the logic of today? Cain's knotted club is scepter still, the rights of man is fraud. Christ's ethics are for creeping things, true manhood smiles at God. For might is right when empires sink in storms of steel and flame, and it is right when weakling breeds are hunted down like game. Then what's the use of dreaming dreams that each shall get his own by forceless votes of meek-eyed thralls who blindly sweat and moan? No, a curse is on their cankered brains, their very bones decay. Go, trace your fate in the iron game, is the logic of today. The strong must ever rule the weak, it's grim primordial law. On earth's broad racial threshing floor, the meek are beaten straw. Then ride to power or foemen's necks, let nothing bar your way. If you are fit, you'll rule and reign, is the logic of today. You must prove your right by deeds of might, of splendor and renown. If need be, march through flames of hell to dash opponents down. If need be, die on scaffolds high in the morning's misty gray. For liberty or death is still the logic of today. Might was right when Gideon led the chosen tribes of old, and it was right when Titus burnt their temples roofed with gold, and might was right from Bunker's Hill to far Manila Bay, by land and flood it's wrote in blood, the gospel of today. Put not your trust in princes is a saying old and true, put not your hope in governments, translateth it anew. All books of law and golden rules are fashioned to betray. The survival of the strongest is the gospel of today. Might was right when Carthage flames lit up the Punic foam, and when the naked steel of Gaul weighed down the spoil of Rome. And might was right when Richmond fell and at Thermopylae. It's the logic of the ancient world and the gospel of today. Where pendant suns and millions swing around this whirling earth, its might, its force that holds the brakes and steers through life and death. Force governs all organic life, inspires all right and wrong. It's nature's plan to weed out man and test who are the strong.
After watching this pathetic primary and the conventions, first convention now coming up the second, do you know what I mythologize? The myth I dream of? If in the middle of the convention, like last night, the doors came crashing down off the hinges of the place, and thousands of warriors and street people made it into the place and tore it to pieces and burnt the whole goddamn thing down, and do the same thing next week to the Democrats. I sit there saying, when already? When already? All I saw was a few limp-wristed demonstrations outside. I'm waiting for the big one. That's what I see. And if that scares you off, well, I'm sorry, baby. I'll be back Monday. In the meantime, let's hear something that sounds pretty good to me. I know Tina likes it. Whoops, I can't find the song I was going to play, but I'll play you something else here on the way out, and I'll see you Moon's Day. Maybe we'll put some more video on. I'll put video on some days I won't. Okay, how's that?
Hey, why'd I do it now? Yay, hey! I voted for Obama. Thought I'd give the brother some play. I dubbed that hope and changing. Yes, I did. But now I'm so regretting that day. Everything around me, damn, seemed to be a going to hell. And then one day it hit me, right between the eyes, baby. Obama maybe wasn't so swell, 'cause he was lying, dictating, and wealth redistributing. I had to do something. I jumped up on my chair and said, next time I'm voting for the white boy. Kiss Obama's butt goodbye.
Yeah.
Next time I'm voting for the white boy. Lay down my ballot and give that Mormon crack a duke. You know why? I had to tell my family. They thought that I was mentally disturbed. Could I diss a homie? How could I? And kick soul brother straight to the curb. I knew they wouldn't listen. They never do. They was riding that entitlement train. For me, the choice was easy. So easy. That Kool-Aid hadn't poisoned my brain. 'Cause he was taxing and spending and socialismizing. The country was sinking. I had to take a stand and said, next time I'm voting for the white boy. Kiss Obama's butt goodbye. Next time I'm voting for the white boy. Lay down my ballot and give that Mormon crack a dude a try. We better try. Oh, we might die. Take it, Mike Huckabee. It's hard to be a black guy living the conservative way. But there's a whole bunch of us, a lot more than you think, and adding more dudes every day. The liberals gonna tell you that all of us will vote for Barack. But just wait till November. Just you wait. I think the country's in for a shock. 'Cause he was blaming and whining and big time pissing moaning. I about had a buttload. I stood up black and proud and said, next time I'm voting for the white boy. Obama's butt.
gullible. Thought Obama was so lovable. Hell no. That kind of dummy fixable. But for liberals it's so typical.
Love. being.